This is Sunday morning, November 18th. I don't even know where I'm at. November the 18th, 2018. And I have a lot to bring this morning, but the Lord added to it this morning, so I'm going to go with what He added to it this morning. You know, God, when He speaks to us a certain thing, He doesn't change. You understand what I'm saying? Just because we get down the road and things don't look the way we think they are, and we begin to second guess God and second guess ourselves, and we decide to go back to Egypt, it's no wonder that the Lord put it to me back in 1994, or whenever the Lord instructed us to set people free from the strongholds of their minds, because what was the thing that happened in the wilderness? They hated Egypt. They were beaten. They were in a socialistic system. They didn't probably go to the bathroom without consent. Everything they did, they were in complete bondage, and they hated it, and they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard their voice and sent Moses to bring them out. Well, they got out there with Moses, and I mean, they hadn't even really got out of Egypt good when they started complaining. Why did you bring us out here? Oh, that we'd stayed in Egypt. And they started glorifying the hellhole they come out of. And the hellhole they came out of sounded better than the promised land that God had before them. He said it was already theirs. He had graced them to go in and take the land. But it comes back to also Abraham and Sarah, same thing with them. Over in Galatians, it talks about there's two covenants. There's Hagar, which is Mount Sinai, which is the law. And the thing with Hagar, it says that Hagar has many children. What does that mean? Many children with no father. That means there's many, many plans that have been made that the Father didn't ordain or sanction. And then there's the Isaac, the child of promise that came because God instructed, God led it, and it happened. So, sometimes when the Lord speaks and we start coming out of Egypt and we begin to hear the Word and the Word begins to expose things in our life, we tend to want to draw back. Oh my God, what have I done? Oh, I should have stayed in Egypt. Well, that's classic. That's what the devil does from the very beginning in the garden. What did he do? Satan is a reasoner. He uses reason. What does reason do? It motivates our sensory perception of things, all of our senses. He works on our senses. Because things aren't in the natural the way we think they ought to be, Satan comes in and begins to, oh, it's so much better over there. Here you had a woman in a perfect heaven on earth environment, and Satan reasoned her out of it. And her husband too. Was that God? No, it wasn't God. God probably wept that day because the fellowship he had with man was cut off. He could no longer touch his or have any interaction with his man, the one he created to have fellowship with, that he walked in the garden with. That's how much God loves us. That's why he sent Jesus, so we could have that walk in the garden with him every day. Constant fellowship with him. But here came the devil, and he ruined it all. So God sent Jesus so that what they had in the garden that we can have today. And Satan comes with his voice to try to reason you. Oh, well, I thought that was God, but maybe it wasn't. You see how he works? He gets you to question what God has said. In fact, sometimes there's strongholds so terribly built up in our minds that we think we're hearing God and we're not. We learn later, yeah, it was double-mindedness. James talks about being a double-minded man, that don't think that anything that you ask for from the Lord will you hear in that state. So I've been seeking the Lord about some things and kind of asking Him where we are. It doesn't ever hurt to find out where you are, where we're moving, where we're going. Because we have to look at it this way. God has us in a certain area and He'll keep us there until we're all ready to move on. I can't just move on and leave you behind. You have to come with me. See? And so as I went to prayer, I thought, Lord, am I on track? Am I doing what I need to be doing? And He said, you're right over the target. You know what that means? The word bombs are ready to just drop on those strongholds and blast them to smithereens. But you can't bail out. You can't drop back. You can't hold back. You can't get disgruntled with the prophet either. I'm flesh and blood just like you. I have bad days just like you. I have things, you know, going on in my life. But, you know, you have to look past just the mouthpiece because God is the one that's doing it. It's not me. I bring what He says. And He does the work. He's the hammer. You talk about Thor. He's ready to drop the hammer. He's ready to set you free. Because what's so sad about it, if you let Satan reason you out of it, you'll go back to the same old round the mountain again, same old place that you've been miserable for so many years. He'll just drag you right back there. He promises you a rose garden, but He gives you hell because He's a liar. He don't want the hammer to drop. He don't want to see Thor show up with his hammer. He don't want to see Father God getting one of His children free where they can worship Him and serve Him and fulfill the call that He's given them before they were ever born. Okay, this is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. It's over the target, it's the title of it. And I want you to understand this. This might help you in your journey also. Not all prophets do God speak all things. This was in a past word. There are things God may never speak to me about, but since 2014, the Lord has had me proclaiming especially things about our nation, etc. 2014, the defining of the office of the prophet. When we came back in the house in 2014, that was for the specific purpose of developing, for me to develop my prophetic gift. You know, I've been pastor, been teacher for years, but I didn't really understand the prophetic ministry, and, you know, it always been kind of a mystery to me, and I was on and off about it, you know. And so this is, you know, the Lord said that to me. This is what this has been about. Prophets may be experts in some way and clueless in others. It's according to God's assignment. I hold three offices. They're all three different. They're different. That means not the same. Not the same. Pastor and teacher is oversight and training of the sheep. That's more than line on line precept, precept teaching. The prophet is hearing God's plan for man in our times. That's what prophets do. They hear what God is saying about what's going on in our world, what's going on in our nation, you know, in different respects. So it's in a broader scope. You very seldom... I listened to Mark Taylor yesterday, and I don't very often, but yesterday he just had a few things to say that really helped me. He said, you know, you very seldom ever see a pastor come on the carpet for anything or get ridiculed or get ousted. And he said, you know, talking about, he said, I don't even say I'm a prophet. People call me a prophet, but he said, I am a prophetic voice, and there is a difference. There's some people that have a prophetic voice, but they're not prophets. And so he's like a marketplace prophet. But anyway, he said, you know, prophets are today's villain and tomorrow's hero. You say one little word out of line, you've got, he said, nowadays you've got millions of people. If you say something online, Millions of people instantly know it, and you're getting blasted from all over the world for one word that they misinterpreted what you were even saying in the first place, and they call you a false prophet. He said, the prophet's ministry comes under fire like none other in the body of Christ, and I agree. Because God is speaking through the prophet and saying things that they don't comprehend, and they define it to one little moment, and God's talking about his big plan. And a lot of times he's talking about what's out there in the future, and they're thinking, no, it's this election on Tuesday, or whatever it is. You see what I mean? Real easy to misinterpret and to think it means this when it doesn't mean that. It means something else. You can always really take it to the bank that when God speaks, it's a lot bigger than one little thing. The Old Testament prophets were in the know about what was going on in their land. They warned or exhorted. They watched the wall. They proclaimed the mind of God to individuals and to leaders, thus over the target. When Jesus was over the target, demons manifested. The Pharisees criticized. Jesus did not tell them cause them to take his... Jesus did not let them cause them to take his eyes off of the target. He just kept on doing what Father said do, and he just blew them off. He remained focused on the target regardless of the flak, and he released the bombs. Boom, boom, boom. Over and over again, he'd set the captives free. Wasn't that his commission? Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Okay, heal the sick, all of that goes with that. Okay, the destruction of the enemy over a person's life. I was thinking about, as this word was coming forth, World War II movies. The old bombers would move over the target. The flak would be heavy, but they looked through their sights, and when they were over the target, the bomb bay doors opened and they would hit the button and bombs away, enemy destroyed. That's why he does strongholds. I can't, you can't let what others think about what you're doing cause you to get your eyes off the target. You know, we spent probably 2 years, maybe probably 2 years on care, taking care. Taking care about things. I'm telling you, when it comes to your children or your grandchildren, you just have to pray. You cannot carry the care or carry the load about what you see, and you never know what's really going on in the heart unless the Lord shows it to you. You have to learn to cast the care of everything onto the Lord, because that's the way Satan gets in. See, Father God is... He is willing and able. He's already said yes and amen, and he wants to take care of everything that pertains to your life and your call and see that it's finished and see that it's completed. But we have to allow him to take the reins and let him answer the prayers. It's like speaking to the mountain. So many people, and I don't know if it was a charismatic thing, but they got into these... Every ministry had a website and a prayer line, and everybody calls for prayer. They quit speaking to the mountains. You know what prayer does? It takes it off of me and puts it on you, and I can go do my business because I know you're praying. Well, I'm tired of it, and I've made a decision that when people do that to me, it's like they're picking me to death like an old flogging hen. That's the way I feel, picked to pieces. Don't you think I have something to do in my life other than pray for you and your many problems? No, you say, you speak. You have as much authority as I do. You speak to your mountains. You have authority to change it. You're not helpless. You're not helpless. Are we doing them any good by doing that? No, they become needy. Welfare program. No, it's time to grow up. It's time to be what the word says we are. It's time to act like the word's true. It's time to act like we have authority, because we do. It's like I was talking about Brother Hagin and the demon. Lord, why don't he do something about that? He said, I couldn't have if you hadn't. I gave the authority to you. He gave the authority on this earth to us to speak. All right, First Samuel 13. Saul let what the people did cause him to lose sight of the target. The people, because Samuel didn't come within the 7 days, really he did, it was at the end of the 7 days, the people started griping and complaining, so Saul decided he'd do the sacrifice, what he was forbidden to do. So he took it into his own hands to let what people dictated to him cause him to react and step over in an area he had no business in, and God said, I'm done with him. I'm done with him. He would not listen to what God said. He would just, the people. And he got worse from there. He got worse and worse and worse until he went and consulted a witch to find out what his future was. And he had even set a law that anyone who went to see a witch would be killed. Well, he was subject to his own law. It happened. Yeah. See, God said, I would have established your throne. You would have had somebody on the throne from now on. Okay. God gave specific instructions, and Saul, because of the fear of man, caused him to abort his mission. The end result, God aborted him. Since I started in ministry in 1994, I've endeavored to stay right over the target in what the Lord has given me to bring the word to set people free from the strongholds of their minds. I have had many opportunities to abort God's mission. People just don't understand, and they criticize. They criticize what they know nothing about. The sad thing about it is that God wanted them free, and they wanted to be free. Boom, boom, boom. But just like Jesus said in Matthew 13:58, I don't know what that is, so we'll look at it. I want you to know this about me. Anytime I'm critiqued, and anytime I feel like, I'm questioning myself, I go to the Lord and I ask Him, am I where I need to be? There's a safety in that. We have to stay humble before the Lord. We have to know that sometimes we can be in a place we don't need to be, and we need to be corrected. 13:58. And he did not do many works of power there because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in the divine mission of Jesus. It's going to be difficult for whoever your pastor is or whatever leader you follow to do anything if nobody believes in them. Even Jesus couldn't. Jesus came to set the captives free, but these did not believe in the divine mission. It tied his hands, no boom, boom, boom. He had some who followed him just so far, and they turned back also. His own family came down to take charge of him. This is Matthew 12:42-50, when he was speaking and his mothers and brothers and sisters showed up. And they said, they're waiting for you. They want you. In fact, they wanted him to stop what he was doing and go meet their little needs, because they thought, you're getting out of line. You're not doing it the way we think you ought to do it. And so they went to take charge of him like he was some kind of nutball. And then he said, who are my mother, my brothers, my sisters? He said, those who hear the word of God and do it. He qualified them. All right, Acts 5 is another one. I'm not sure what that says, so we'll look at that one, Acts 5:27. Oh. So they brought them, 27, and sent them before the council, and the high priest examined them by questioning. See, this is what religion does. It questions God and what God is doing, God's things, saying, "We definitely commanded and strictly charged you not to teach in or about this name. Yet here you have flooded Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his right hand to be prince and leader and savior and deliverer and preserver in order to grant repentance to Israel and to bestow forgiveness and release from sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and the Holy Spirit is also whom God has bestowed on those who obey him." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and infuriated and wanted to kill the disciples. But a certain Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, teacher of the law, highly esteemed by all the people, standing up, ordered that the apostles be taken outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, take care in regard to what you purpose to do concerning these men. For before our time there arose Thaddeus, asserting himself to be a person of importance, with whom a number of men allied themselves, about 400. But he was killed, and all who had listened to and adhered to him were scattered and brought to nothing. And after this one rose up, Judas the Galilean, during the time of the census, and drew away a popular following after him. He also perished, and all his adherents were scattered. Now in the present case, let me say to you, stand off from these men and let them alone. For if this doctrine or purpose or undertaking or movement is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to stop or overthrow or destroy them. You might even be found fighting against God." This very word was said over our ministry back many years ago by someone that's not even alive today. So convinced by him, they took his advice, and summoning the apostles, they flogged them and sternly forbade them to speak in or about the name of Jesus and allowed them to go. So they went out from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame, exposed to disgrace for his name. Yet they never ceased for a single day, both in the temple area and at home, to teach and proclaim the good news of Jesus the Christ. Now we know all of them pretty well were martyred. They say, some say John was, but I don't, there's no record that John was, but all the rest were martyred for their faith. But the thing is, we've got to obey God rather than men. That's just plain and simple, bottom line. "I intend to stay over the target. I guess the rest is up to you. When I'm criticized about what I do, I always ask the Lord, are they right? I can't move away from the target because of what someone thinks about it. It is so sad that people always want to kill the messenger. Jesus was the messenger, and the religious leaders came against him, and eventually they figured out a way to kill him. He was faithful and remained over the target until he completed God's plan, and he said, 'It is finished.' All he could say was, 'Forgive them, Lord, they just don't know what they're doing.' The saddest thing for me is to be locked and loaded and are ready to drop the bombs, and the person puts the brakes on and suddenly decides that they no longer believe in the mission, the freedom mission. A psalm. Don't let flak cause you to turn back. You have a mission to be completed. Keep your eye on the target and you won't be defeated. Satan doesn't like it. He doesn't want you free. He wants to keep you bound and without victory. Keep your eye on the target and be not swayed. It is your time and your hour, bombs away. Over the target means this. The word is shining on the secret dark places that the devil thought were well hidden. Exposing." See, what the word of God does, it shines light on darkness and exposes it, and God roots it out. What's not of my Heavenly Father has been rooted out of my body. I speak those things out of my mind, out of my body. Anything that's not of you, Lord, I want it out. Where do we pick these things up? The world system. See, Satan's over. Now, in Christ Jesus, we have authority over the devil, but just normal people, just through the course of life, they're exposed to a system that is false. The things they teach are false. Not everyone, but for the most part. We've been fed narratives that aren't true. We've picked up things along the journey that are not good. We've listened to things, heard things. We watched the last Jurassic Park movie, and really the whole scheme of all their movies is cloning and messing with genetics. That's the message that it's sending. Evolution also. Bad. Really bad. They make it look cute and put baby dinosaurs in there and things, but it's a narrative that's being pushed. This is Hollywood. The Lord was right. He said, watch the movies. You'll see what the devil's doing. It's loud and clear. Danny and I were talking about it yesterday. Their thing is they have symbols. They have to do their, they have to show it. And it's in everything. I'm talking secular. You know, you could sit in any movie and you could pick things out. Yeah, that's that. I see that. I see that narrative they're trying to push. And through frequency technology, a lot of it's like hearing it over and over and over, that it forms a stronghold in a person's mind to where they automatically do those things. But what stops that? The Word of God. It's the hammer that breaks down those things. We think we have not been infiltrated, but that is absolutely not the truth. I don't care how innocent it looked, Bewitched. That's one of my favorite shows. Yeah, what kind of message does that send? Our world is full of fantasy, magic. Yeah, these kind of things. All right. When they're exposed, demons cry out. Jesus didn't expect, I'm sure, that he would be confronted by his own family. You would think that they would be the biggest supporters, but they were actually opposing God. What did Jesus do? He drew a line in the sand. God's business always took precedence over family. I will not stop saying what God gives me to say, like it or leave it. I'm committed. I plan to stay over the target. I plan to stay over the target and dropping the large truth bombs. If I can successfully do this with family, I believe everyone else will be a piece of cake. Okay, and it's not easy for you being family. All right, Mark 6. And sometimes it's hard for me to not be. It's like, yeah, I'm this, but I'm also that. You know, you wear different hats at times. I have a human side like everybody else. Okay, Mark 6:4. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, deference, reverence, except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house. He was not able to do even one work of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sickly people and cured them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in him. And he went about among the surrounding villages and continued teaching. Okay, Matthew 13, I think, probably says the same thing. When people don't have a personal relationship with you, it's easier because they don't see your human side. It's real easy to put everybody that you see on TV or on the internet up on a pedestal, because you never see the human side of them. You see their ministry. You see the anointing flowing out of them. And you think, oh, man, they just must walk in heaven on earth all the time. No, they have struggles. They have family problems. They have issues they have to deal with just like anybody else. I wish it was true. I mean, I wish it was true that, you just walked in this higher anointing and you could just bam, 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 you didn't have any problems. You think Jesus didn't have problems? He had family problems. We see it here. He dealt with the same issues, his own brothers. Well, if you want to make yourself known, why don't you go on to the temple and do this? And he said, well, you can go anytime, but my time's not yet. He waited till they went on, and he went later secretly. He wasn't about a name for himself. They were mocking him, trying to get him, trap him, try to get him to step out independently of God and make a name for himself. Jesus ran from that. He did. All right, John 7:5. I hope y'all get my heart this morning. Well, this is the story. This is John 7 that I just told you about. Right there, verse 5. For even his brothers did not believe in or adhere to or trust in or rely on him either. Well, Jesus couldn't help anybody if they didn't believe in his mission. Well, it's the same way with me. If you don't believe in this mission, I can't help you. You're wasting my time. And I'm sorry to say that. That's not to be ugly, but that is the truth. If you don't sink in and get hooked up and flow with what we're doing here? Because it's not just me. It's like we're on a train here, and y'all are the cars behind the engine, and God is taking us to levels and going up higher and higher. I heard this one time from another minister, and I'd never seen it that way, but he was absolutely right. He would speak, and he'd keep doing it. He'd do it for weeks until finally the Lord said, okay, everybody's, all the cars are hooked up. Now move on. So if you're hanging back the caboose and you won't get hooked up with the train, you're hampering. We need to get hooked up with what the Lord's doing. The Lord wants to take us higher, and he wants to do a lot of things, a lot of good things, a lot of higher things, but that reasoning, how do we start this out? Reasoning. Religious reasoning. Jesus dealt with religious demons more than anything else in his ministry. But he just kept on ministering. Some places he couldn't. But anyway, you just have to realize here today, I'm just a human person like you. I'm just bringing the message. Don't shoot the messenger.